Now, Austin's number one fantasy sports show. It's the Wagner Wire, presented by Audiovisual Consultations.
What would you say you do here?
I am the eyes and ears of this institution, my friends.
A manager baseball team.
Little League?
Fantasy League.
He's worth a million in prizes.
It's our fantasy baseball draft.
Your fantasy what?
Fantasy baseball. I told you all about this. Got Matsui.
All your fantasy sports updates.
It's a numbers game.
Now, the host from the East Coast. Here's Wags.
That was pretty classy.
Yeah! Hour number two. You listen to the Wagon Wire here on 104.9, 101.9, AM 1260. Stream it live at hornfm.com. So many ways to hear our message. But know that the message is coming from the Horn. That's right. We are the Horn. Like I said, you can find us so many ways. 104.9, 101.9, AM 1260. Stream the sucker live at hornfm.com. The Horn app. Get on out there if you're, you know, the iOS or the Android. Whatever you got to do, whatever you have, the Horn is available to you. It's pretty easy. Download it, the Horn ATX. It's pretty simple. It's pretty easy. Do it now, please. Thank you. Remember, you can always join us on the conversation, in the conversation. You can call us on the Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina hotline, which is 512-447-3776. Or, you know, text us on the Specs text line, which is 512-337-3776. So many things to do. Get us up on Twitter as well in that Twitterverse. You can find me at NotTheFakeWags. Tweet the show at The Wagner Wire. Tweet the radio station at The Horn ATX. And tweet this dude, 14A.Walsh. That is my man, Al Walsh. You can find him. He does all that potent work, the potent product for TheDuel.com. Just tremendous, man. His work is always raved here at the Wagner Wire, and we love him, man. I wish that I could do a lot more with him, but only you know, he comes and goes on Sundays, and here he is right gracing us with his presence on this Sunday. Al Walsh, how you doing today, brother?
Unbelievable. Such a great intro with the Drake song, and
I like it.
Just always just,
I like it.
Always
I think,
a great time
I think I'm
to be
add
here.
Some Kanye for my next window. I think I'm gonna come with flashing lights. I think I'm gonna
that's a great one. I got look if
I
you
got
ever
a lot
need
of
an
influence, man.
If you ever need an intro playlist, I got you.
My man, you got me with a lot of things, my brother. How you doing today?
Oh, I'm doing excellent. My man Joe Harris just won the three-point contest last night.
Your Nets, baby. Your Nets. It's not coming from D'Angelo Russell. It's coming from Mr. Harris, which, you know, funny enough, I actually did a story on this dude about a year ago, how he can just go around Brooklyn and not being noticed. But I don't think that's going to be the case, you know, moving forward after he takes down the brothers Curry.
Nah, you know what's crazy is that, you know, like, I think a lot of people in Brooklyn wouldn't know a lot of these Nets players because, you know, a lot of them grew up as Knicks fans. So, you know, they have a hard job trying to, like, win over, you know, basically somebody else's fan base. But, I mean, hey, all us Jersey Nets fans that have been there forever, this is awesome. But, yeah, man, cashed in with a nice bet last night on Joe Harris. Now I'm going to take those Joe Harris winnings and go golfing later.
You only threw down like 25 on it too, right? It was a pretty low-end bet for you?
Yeah, it was initially like a six. It would have been like six times the bet. So initially it was 25 to win 150. So lo and behold, I go to cash out earlier today, and it says I won 175 off it. So that's the one cool thing about the FanDuel Sportsbook is like sometimes – if you have a money line bet like that, the odds increase. So, like, you can go to bed thinking that you won 60 and wake up with, like, 75. So that's always a pretty neat thing
about
them. That's
a little extra bonus there. Again, we're talking with my man Al Walsh from TheDuel.com. You can find him on Twitter at 14A.Walsh. And if you're just joining us now, if you weren't able to join us at the beginning of the hour, the beginning of the show, the first hour, at the 10 o'clock hour, I am riding solo, man. I'm riding solo like Han. Devin, my producer, Devin Ludicky, he's out sick, so we wish him well. We you know, tweet at Devin. You can find him on Twitter at DevinTheDude. No U, no E, just drop those things and add the two O's. I know it's kind of confusing there, but it's Devin the Dude. You know, wish him well, you know, help him get back to health. But riding solo like Han, and I was able to pull my buddy in, Al Walsh, here to help me fly this ship, and doing a great job, man. It's been a while, though, since I've been able to catch up with my boy Al. So What have you been doing, dude? Like, I know you're putting all that potent product together for the duel, but other than that, man, I mean, are you scheming on you going down, the Chinatown, going, finding some underground hot walk or anything like that? What do you got going on in the city, man?
You know what's crazy is that, like, so probably from all right, so I started at the duel in August, and I've been there since. But, like, I think once it hit, like, December, it just started getting cold and everything like that. So there's been a lot of hibernating over these last couple of weeks. But I just ended up getting the PlayStation View is, like, the new source of cable. I highly recommend it to everybody. But I wouldn't know.
Hold on, what is this? Because I'm trying to cut the cord.
Oh, my God, PlayStation View, right? Well, I know you got the PlayStation.
Yeah.
You and Reed got it over there. So, yeah, it's basically just cable right there on the PlayStation. It's got all, like... it gives you all the local channels, all the main ones. But, I highly recommend
it. Can you see every game? I mean, is there any blackouts or anything like that?
Well, see, that I go to Reddit for. But,
gotcha.
Like, your hometown – no, your hometown games, they got you.
Right on. I'll have to look into that, man.
Indeed.
What else you got going on, Padre?
Oh, man, a lot of work. I mean, look, just putting in a lot of these articles now that, football's over. It's kind of interesting to see how everything works on the internet.
You watching any of the AAF at all?
I have watched a little. I'm trying to get more into it, but guys like Christian Hackenberg keep ruining it for the rest of us. I mean,
yeah, we got Gilbert too, bro, for the Orlando.
I tell you what, man, like some of these dudes can play. Like the dude, the receiver Ross on Arizona, he's got like 3 touchdowns already, I think. But there's a couple guys out there that can play. I know, like,
you think
San
Johnny
Antonio,
Football comes out there?
I don't know. I would love for him to do it, but
we've
you
seen
know,
Kaepernick
I, you
turn
know,
down the offer too.
I don't think it's that long of a season. So the one team I'm not just saying this because it's down in your state, but San Antonio, they actually got a couple good players there. I know Greg Ward is a receiver, and then Kenneth Farrow and Aaron Jones.
There you go.
All those guys, Texas products over there.
Look at Al doing his research. What are you digging up?
Well, I watched the first night, and I seen all these dudes. I was like, oh, my God, I recognize this guy. And they're I forget the quarterback's name, but he can sling the ball, too, a little bit. But, it's crazy because now, you see a lot of low scores in these games, with the exception of one or two here and there. But, it's a lot of guys learning to play with each other for the first time and, like, learn a new system. I mean, thank God there's good coaches up and down this league, teaching these guys what's up. But it's definitely going to take some time for these dudes to get some rhythm and all that going here at the onset.
The thing that I love about this so much is that you're seeing these players that have their second chance. And, I mentioned this, a saying that I use a lot is skin in the game, right? You got to have something that's going to be your outlying motivator, right? And a lot of times the last chance, when the back is against the wall, you see a response come. You really see the ultimate and true testament of someone's character, right? And hopefully that's sort of the product that I'm hoping that we see out of this AAF is some of these talented players that maybe are just journeymen that a lot of people have forgotten about, and finally they have their last, outlying moment to shine on a platform to try and get them to that next step up into the NFL, and it happens, man. And I think that's why the NFL has bought on so much and pretty much I think they're going to allow this umbrella to grow essentially and get bigger because they want to put their shield on this and try and make this a decent, legit minor league to where you can essentially now get some practice players. You say like Jerry Jones, right, in the Dallas Cowboys, he's got players that are on his practice squad that don't get in-game situations. Now he can send them down to San Antonio to get them on this roster. I don't think that this is where it's at right now, but it has the potential to go that way once the NFL puts their shield on it.
Yeah, and what's funny, too, is it's like not only do you have – players that are trying to like get back in the league, but you could see some of the coaches there, right? You got a little bit of fire from them. Maybe they get a nice gig if they show that they can take a team undefeated or something like that. And then like even like the guys in the play-by-play booth, right? It's like was it Jones Drew, the former Jags running back. Like he's trying to establish himself as an announcer. So I think it's great. It's like it's a practice session for everybody. And I definitely love all these underdog stories and stuff like that. I mean, hell, who doesn't love an underdog? But this is just fun to watch,
Ben Stiller doesn't like an underdog, that's for sure.
Doing what they love to do.
Ben's White Goodman does not love an underdog.
Wow.
Ben Stiller and Peter LaFleur. Cram it up your cram hole, LaFleur. All right, man, we've been talking about the AAF. Let's talk a little bit about the NFL. Lots of headlines going around this week, man. One, let's start off first. Let's talk about the signal caller. Well, used to be the signal caller there in Baltimore, and now he's moved on to the Denver Broncos. Good move for Elway trading for Joe Flacco or not?
No, I think it's a terrible move. You already got Emmanuel Sanders who – with the Achilles injury, that happened to him late in the year. So he's probably going to be a slow healer coming back. And then, who's your next guy after that? It's, can't I think of the guy? We've been out of football for so long
Sutton?
Here. Latimer.
Oh,
my bad. So he's probably going to be your number one guy unless you do something in the draft. But other than that, look, Flacco's metrics have not been good lately. I actually did an article on him this week. You can check it out on theDuel.com. But essentially, Joe Flacco has – now, this is over the last three seasons when throwing to open receivers and the way that NFL Next Gen Stats categorizes that, they say a receiver that has 3 yards or more of separation. So when Flacco is throwing to these guys, he has the worst yards per attempt in the NFL.
Yeah, what is it, like under five
years.
Or something, right?
Yep, and then he's got the second lowest completion percentage. I think it's not bad. It's 58%, but when you're throwing the wide open receivers, you got to hit these guys. Point in case being, I don't think Denver's going to have too many receivers that are open this season. So I don't know. Maybe he throws better to covered receivers, but he's certainly not doing well. When given the opportunity there, and obviously he got his job taken away. But I think Denver, they're always going to be a team that runs the ball. Hell, even when they had John Elway, they were running the ball a lot. So that, for fantasy purposes, that probably bodes much better for Philip Lindsay, Royce Freeman, guys like that. But I think the Denver passing game is probably they're going to be looking for another quarterback. They might take Drew Lock in the first round, but just groom him under Flacco maybe. But I don't think that the signing of Flacco has helped them at all by any means.
Well, I think they got, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think they got the 10th. Pick in the draft this year, so I'm not sure if they're going to be taking a quarterback with that one. But
I don't
think Flacco's the answer. That's for sure, right?
No, definitely not. Definitely
Flacco's
not.
Definitely not the answer. You mentioned his pass per attempt, just under five. So what? He's not getting the ball down the field, and if he even tries to get the ball down the field in Denver, we don't even know who he's going to get the ball to. Again, this looks like Elway just buying a little bit more time. Maybe he doesn't know who his quarterback is in the future. Maybe he doesn't see. You mentioned, I think there's a rumor that he likes Drew Lock. I think he likes Drew Lock. I'm not sure. I'm not real big on who Elway's keen on there. But you got to think that. I don't even think. This crop of quarterbacks in this draft is that great. I'm a huge fan of Will Greer, but that's only because, I'm a Big 12 head now, and I've seen what Will Greer has been able to do. I like his maturity and his poise in the pocket. I think given with the right weapons, I think Will Greer can be highly successful. But, that goes for any quarterback. I think Elway missed on his quarterback class last year, but, my God, how can you not take a guy like Bradley Chubb to go on the other end of Von Miller there. But to me, it just looks like Elway's renting a quarterback here. Maybe, it's a little bit derivative of how, they had Peyton Manning in there and had that defense, lead Peyton Manning onto a Super Bowl. Maybe Harris, Chubb, and Von Miller can get something going there for that defense. But to me, I just don't understand this move here for Elway. It looks like, and they can't even agree to things. Once this happens in April once it's allowed to happen and go down in April.
Yeah, mid-March.
Yeah, mid-March or something like that. That's when you'll see the actual completion of this deal go down. And chances are it's probably going to be for a mid-round deal is what ESPN and Schefty's reporting. Adam Schefter, their senior writer for ESPN. So he probably thinks it's going to be anywhere between the third or fourth round pick. I don't know. It's if you got the picks, if you're Elway, I guess you can take a risk on it. You didn't hit what you thought you were going to get with Case Keenum, and with the draft looking as grim as it is, maybe you take this shot. But to me, man, I thought Joe lost his luster a long time ago. He's really riding off the curtails of that one Super Bowl win with the Ravens there, and he just hadn't done anything since.
Indeed. Indeed. Hey, by the way, I have to correct myself. I was saying Cody Latimer, Courtland Sutton. What a dummy.
I thought I corrected you, but you know, I'm not. You never listen to me anyways, but don't worry about it, man. Why should you? All right, we also had some news go down. We had Kareem Hunt. I had Bob Harris on last week, Al, from SiriusXM, and he, you know, we were talking about, you know, the running back situation and the lack of productivity with Todd Gurley, and you know, what do you do? Do you maybe take a stab and offer a second round or a third round pick? We both agreed. We later on agreed that a third round pick would kind of be insulting. You know what I mean? So to offer for Todd Gurley there, so you want to stay in the second round pick, and then that led me to my follow on question with what do you do with a guy like Kareem Hunt, who at that time was not signed and on a roster yet? So.
Right.
It led Bob on to believe, you know, offer out that fourth round pick. And sure enough, you know, now, you know, the news that broke the day after, the next Monday morning, is that Kareem Hunt was signed to the Browns. What do you think the Browns are looking at? And it looks like a good signing. If you can kind of absorb a little bit of the PR hit that you're going to get with this PR risk taking on Kareem Hunt, right. The Browns are obviously all in, but this is a chance to get Kareem Hunt for potentially nothing, because even if he's suspended, none of this $1 million that he signed to, this 1 year $1 million, it's not guaranteed money.
Right.
You know what I mean? So so even if he's under suspension, which in all cases, he's probably going to I would venture to say that it's probable that Kareem Hunt's going to be suspended next year. So he could be on the Browns roster, gaining reps and getting practice and getting a good look. And staying in shape, rather, and still not be getting paid for it.
Right. Well, I guess the interesting thing is, you remember he went to University of Toledo. So, I mean, maybe there's something there with, you know, him being a hometown guy or something like that, that they want to.
Well,
I know the Chiefs front office guy.
His name's eluding me at the moment, but I know the Chiefs front office guy that drafted Kareem Hunt is now in Cleveland.
Okay. Well, even better. So, you know, yeah, they definitely got that there. I think, you know, it's they're like Tyreek Hill, who is playing for the Chiefs right now and starring and doing a fantastic job. I mean, he beat the crap out of his pregnant girlfriend, you know, and like he's still playing. The only difference is that, you know, we have video of this, and this is why Hunt is even in this situation. I mean, hell, Joe Mixon, we saw him on video do something, and he's playing in the league. So I just think that there's such a ridiculous double standard. I mean, Josh Gordon, you know, getting suspended more for smoking weed over these guys that are, like, actually assaulting people. I mean, who the heck knows, you know, what the right rulings are and what the wrong rulings are. But
yeah, it's very subjective, man.
I feel like, you know, look, this is the guy's profession, right? Like, it's hard to tell somebody, you know what, you can't make money at what you're doing, because odds are, I mean, I have no idea, you know, what Kareem Hunt does, you know, with his free time. But, who knows if the guy doesn't have any talents or, you know, in other areas. So if this is the only way that he can make money, I just think that that's such a wrong thing to do to somebody. Now, being in Cleveland, he's going to have a nice opportunity. To at least be in a fun sort of offense that's going on there. I mean, Nick Chubb had such a great year. I found this so
Duke
hard
Johnson
to believe.
Johnson, too. It's a loaded backfield.
Pro Football Focus actually had Chubb as the highest-graded running back this season, right? And that's over Zeke Elliott. That's over Gurley. That's over everybody. They had him as the highest-graded running back this season. I don't know. I mean, look, guy had a great year, but, you know, I don't know what kind of metrics go into this. It's going to be I think that you have to put these two in the same backfield at times. Part of the reason that Mayfield was so good, though, this season is that in the second half of the season is that Cleveland kind of,
it was predicated off the run, man.
Yeah, they try to add more guys to the offensive line, more two tight end sets, keeping more guys in the block Mayfield. And that was the major difference. So I think if you do that, it's going to be hard to have two backfield sets. But again, both of these guys are athletes. And let's be honest, I mean, every single, with the exception of a couple backfields, like, you need two guys in your backfield nowadays to be pretty successful. I mean,
you do see a lot of 20 personnel, man. You're right about that.
Absolutely. So, I mean, you know, and again, the price, I think that's the main thing here, too. The price was right for Cleveland on this. It wasn't like a major financial move or anything like that. I mean, and to be honest with you, I don't even think that they're really taking a big hit PR-wise. Like, we really haven't heard a lot of cries about this. So, I mean, if he can just come in, do his job, fly under the radar, help the Browns win even more games than they won last year, I mean, I think it's just an absolute no-brainer signing. I mean, that was the thing, though, that, like, oh, which team is going to be dumb enough to sign Kareem Hunt? Well, hey, look, the Browns signed him, and I don't think it's dumb at all.
No, exactly. The Browns are all in, and the name that was eluding me, John Dorsey, is the GM over there now.
Ah, yes.
John Dorsey, yes. Who was the one that was that actually drafted Kareem Hunt for the organization of the Kansas City Chiefs. You know, you're right about that. Now, you know, it's arguably that Cleveland has, what, the best dynamic backfield in the NFL. Now, to me, yeah. I think I don't know how you keep all three of these guys. I mean, you'd love to have, you know, a three-headed hydra of Hunt, Chubb, and Johnson. But to me, and we mentioned it, that Hunt might not even get a paycheck for the Brown, in a mm-hmm. Browns uniform yet. So I guess you can still technically keep him under wraps there, but I think you got to kind of explore and see what you can get for either Hunt or Chubb, right? I don't think that Johnson would be the piece moving because he's not really a headliner and not really one that somebody's coveting. And you've seen him make explosive plays, and you know he's definitely a hard runner, but he's not the young legs like Kareem Hunt or Chubb, who basically are on rookie contracts. So to me, I think one of these guys have to move. And you know, if everything works out for Hunt, it kind of, you know, with Dorsey now in as the GM there in the front office, it kind of looks like everything's pointing to a trade coming down with one Nick Chubb.
I don't know if I would do. I mean, again, like Chubb had such a great year, and again, he's not in any legal mess. So, I mean, obviously, I think he's a guy that stays. I would say that Kareem Hunt's probably the guy that would go.
Okay.
But, you know, it's funny. Now, we did a four possible trade destinations.
Hey,
Walsh,
I hate to do this to you, Ben, but I'm way up against the break. Can you stay on for another segment? Can you do that?
Absolutely.
Right, man. Hey, on the other side of it, we're going to have a makeshift break real quick because we got to go pay some bills, like my man Cliff likes to say. Cliff Frable and the Texas Tailgaters, he'll be joining – or not joining us. He'll be coming on after the Wagner Wire concludes here for the 1 o'clock hour. All that and more, you're listening to us. We'll have more of Al Walsh with the Wagner Wire on the other side of it. You're listening to us on the Horn.
Now, back to the Wagner Wire.
All right, welcome back to the Wagner Wire. I am your host, Adam Wagner. You can find me on Twitter at NotTheFakeWags. You can tweet us at the show, at the Wagner Wire. Tweet us at the Horn as well, at the Horn ATX. And tweet my man, Al Walsh, who's still with us on the Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina hotline at 14a.walsh in that Twitterverse. He is the man that brings you all that potent product for theduel.com, and he's kind enough to stay on with us for another segment, man, talking a little bit about NFL. We didn't get everything out. We wanted to talk a little bit about AB, Le'Veon Bell, Steeler Nation, and the demise of that, the turmoil that that Tomlin's got his team in and is finding a hard time getting them out of, and we just haven't been able to get everything out. It's been a long time since I've been able to talk to my man, and I got him on this Sunday because this is one of the few times that he's got a day off on Sunday. Usually he's working on the Lord's Day, and so are we. And we got him on the Wagner Wire today. Walsh, man, we left off with the Kareem Hunt talk and, you know, talking a little bit about the backfield on who you think the Browns' backfield on if, you know, Hunt is actually cleared and the risk is actually paid off by John Dorsey and the Browns organization on taking Hunt, which running back would move out of that backfield because it would obviously be a coveted piece. Not really. I mean, sure, there's a need for a three-headed hydra of a running back camp like that. But to me, you know, you got Johnson, Hunt, and Chubb. You'd really like to move one of those running backs to try and get some pieces to build around Baker Mayfield and that young, thriving offense. And I happen to think that it would be Hunt, of Chubb, rather, because he's the least risk. But Walsh, you know, is weighing in on the other side, thinking that once all the surface clears on Hunt, that Hunt could be the one to move. Walsh, you want to elaborate on that, please?
Yeah, I just feel like, you know, the Browns already know what they have in Chubb. Like, he's already been with them for a season. There's some sort of comfortability. Obviously, I talked about that thing about, you know, Pro Football Focus having him as the highest rated running back this season. Again, with Hunt, you know, just you don't know how that time off has really affected him. You don't know how the impending time off is going to affect him either. But I think if, you know, you got to look at it from this angle too of, you know, there are going to be other teams during 2019 that are going to, you know, need help at the running back position, right? Like, right. We see it every season. Teams just have injuries, and that's just how it goes. So the Browns could just almost be sort of like fostering, you know, Kareem Hunt right now. Maybe it's like trying to keep him out of trouble or whatever the case is. And then when that NFL trade deadline rolls around, they don't have any obligation to Kareem Hunt. They can flip him for, like, I don't know, like, if there's a team that's really desperate, maybe they go for a first-round pick. Maybe it's a second or third-round pick. But I just think that there's a nice advantage to having him, too. And, yeah, look, just Hunt being in the building could be exciting for a lot of these Browns guys, you know, maybe just make them be on top of their game. And, you know, that's kind of like – that's some good motivation sometimes, right, to bring in better competition.
Oh, no, so it definitely it definitely pushes you. You know what I mean? When you got that alpha next to you, man, you definitely see who the alpha of the dogs are really going to be.
Sure.
So, no, I agree with you there, man. Good competition is healthy, man.
Yeah, absolutely. And, again, too, like I was saying before the break – you know, we did an article this week about four possible trade destinations for Duke Johnson. I mean, while he might not be the household name that everybody likes, I mean, the guy's still capable. I mean, the Browns have just absolutely misused this guy for so long. And, you know, he had a couple games at the end during the middle of last season where, you know, he showed the potential that he has. But, under Hugh Jackson, he just did not use him the right way at all.
Yeah, that was a lot basically, of Hugh, man.
Basically was only used when, like, all the other running backs were, like, dead or something. You know, like,
right.
That's the only time Duke Johnson would come in. But he's certainly a talented guy. He's shown that he can catch the ball out of the backfield. I mean, we had the Patriots as one of the teams on there that, you know, he could possibly go to. But, I mean, something like that would be interesting, or maybe like a Philly or you know, one of those teams for Duke Johnson. But I don't know. It's going to be interesting. And again, too, injuries could dictate what happens to the Browns. Maybe Chubb, maybe Johnson gets injured. Maybe, you know, and then they just have their two-headed monster right there, right before their eyes. So, you know, we really don't know how it's going to play out, but it's nice to have options, though, right?
No, I feel you there. And I guess a player that wants other options and who's apparently he's still under contract, too, is one Antonio Brighton. He doesn't think the
Beautiful
options.
Segue,
are,
by the way. Beautiful
thank
segue.
You very much. Thank you. I try. I have my moments. You know what I mean. And so you know he well, I guess he wants more options, but apparently he's under contract, Walsh, and you know he came out with a tweet that says hashtag new demands, and this is just beautiful, right? Because we saw a little bit with this from Double Sticks from Julio Jones last year. These wide receivers, these prima donnas that are locked in under contract, they're not happy. So they're just not reporting to camp anymore. Well, not they. I'm, you know, pretty much, you know, consider, you know, grouping all of them in, lumping all of them in when it's really just two or a few. But to me, all right, now you got Antonio Brown, arguably the best wide receiver in the league right now. I'm actually going to agree with a lot of my cohorts here at the horn
that it's
Nuke Hopkins.
The man is amazing.
So you think it's Nuke Hopkins or you think it's Antonio Brown? I think it's Nuke Hopkins.
I think it's Antonio Brown.
So you go with Antonio Brown. I'm gonna go with Nuke Hopkins here. But to me, regardless, one of the elite wide receivers once out of Steeler Nation. It's an unhappy situation. I don't know what's going on in the locker room there. For one, you know, you got a coach like Tomlin who he's not in charge of the offense. He's not in charge of the defense or special teams. All he really does is delegate and control player personnel. He doesn't seem like – I know he's had winning seasons since he's been there, but he doesn't seem like he's got a good grasp of control on his players. You got Lev Bell that just seemingly gets pissed off with – ownership and says I'm not playing this whole next year because you're not using me like a hybrid wide receiver / running back. And now you have AB who is also unhappy with his pay, says he wants hashtag new deal.
and, you know, just wants out of it because he's seeing the emergence of Juju Smith-Schuster, and now he's arguing, saying that Juju Smith-Schuster wouldn't even have the career that he had without AB being on the other side of the ball. I'm sure that that probably has some justice and truth to it as well, but now you have a guy that has a, you know, we presumably going to be a large contract, even if an extension goes into it or he gets his new deal, going over to what I think a lot of sources are pinning him with, one Jimmy Garoppolo over in San Francisco because of the relationship with Jerry Rice there. I don't really see that because they just locked in their quarterback, right? You can't really lock in another, I guess, highly taxing contract with AB, especially when you're trying to rebuild your franchise. So I would think that maybe Antonio Brown winds up in a place like we were just talking to about the Denver Broncos. You mentioned they don't have the pieces, right? But they do got some money, or they don't have the personnel to help Joe Flacco out, but they do have the money. I would like to see maybe an Antonio Brown go to a, let's say, Denver Broncos, or there's also been talk of him being pinned to a Indianapolis Colts team as well. What are your thoughts on that?
My goodness. All right, so first of all, I'm just out. I'm out on diva wide receivers, right? Because number one, like, look at the lineage of the last, you know, however many Super Bowl winners, and we could probably blame the Patriots for most of this. But when's the last time a number one diva, like, superstar wide receiver won a Super Bowl? Like, when?
Been a while.
Yeah, like,
oh, no, wait. Do you count Josh Gordon? Actually, he's not even a diva. He's just a mess.
Count. That does not count. You have to actually be catching passes on a consistent basis for your football team, right? So, number one wide receivers like AB, Julio, Beckham, guys like that, AJ Green.
Hadn't really happened, bro.
You know what? I shouldn't put AJ Green because he's not like a pain. Like those other three that I mentioned, they're an absolute pain in the you-know-what.
OBJ, like, yeah, just, man.
They're not winning Super Bowls. So, okay, great, whatever. Like, there are definitely teams out there that they don't have to win Super Bowls to have a successful season. They just need to be, like, talked about or at least, like, in the playoff picture. And I'm talking about, like, a team like the Jets or, like, you know, the Colts. If they make it to the conference championship, I think that that's, like, a huge success. There are teams out there that could certainly, like, the Redskins. Like, if they made it anywhere near the playoffs, that's a successful season for a franchise like that. I really doubt that the Steelers would trade Antonio Brown to the Eagles in state, but I mean, that would be like a huge move for the Eagles. But I'm over it, man. Like if he really wants to leave Pittsburgh and go to Arizona,
yeah, that's another organization linking him as well. What do you think about him in Arizona with a young, you know, a young Rosen there, a young Josh Rosen, and maybe you got Larry Fitzgerald on the other side of it who's coming back. What do you think that tandem can get going?
I mean, it's just funny to me that, like Antonio Brown could be going from a situation like Pittsburgh, which, like, he had 15 touchdowns last year, and I think he had, like, 33 targets to the first two games last year, and he was complaining that he wasn't getting the ball enough. Like, what do you want them to do, my man? But I don't know, in Arizona, look, we don't know what Kingsbury's going to be as an NFL coach. Rosen had some struggles. Now, granted, that wasn't a great offensive line in Arizona, but I was a big fan of Josh Rosen coming out of the draft last year.
Is Rosen again, the guy? Since we're on the topic, I'm sorry to throw you off, but is Rosen the guy?
I think he is, but they got to protect him. You saw what happened to Andrew Luck, right? Like, everybody was wondering how he was going to, you know, come back this season from missing a whole year and everything. Which, remember, I called, by the way.
Yes, you did.
On the program. But, I mean, you got to protect the quarterback. And if you're not going to protect Rosen, he's going to be hurt. He's not going to be on the field. And then what are you going to do? Put, like, Ryan Lindsley or whoever the hell out there?
Right.
So that ain't happening. But, again, if you're going to get Antonio Brown, you know, you just better make sure that your quarterback's protected, because then that's just going to be a wasted investment right there.
That's what I'm talking about, man. All right, so we got Antonio Brown, you know, contract looking good, not really looking good, but this guy his productivity is elite, man. We've already talked about it a little bit, just in 17. Now remember, he 17 games, not 18 games, because he set out the last one. 17 games, he went for 104 receptions. So over the past, what, since 2013, 110, 129, 136, 106, 101, and 104. 104 was with 17 games. Walsh, this is a wide receiver that you have to have on your club. I don't know what's going on in Pittsburgh. You would think that his productivity, I mean, it's enough to get over the off-the-field antics, correct? I mean, you're seeing this there, again. I just sat there and raveled, you know, ranted off all those stats, all those catches, and I sat there and made an argument for Nuke Hopkins being the best wide receiver in the league. But after seeing those stats, I mean, that's consistent 100 receptions, and he makes the players on the other side just as good. So to me, I think that this is probably the best wide receiver in the league. Going back on my words just earlier with Nuke Hopkins. I don't know how you don't sign this guy and get him locked up. Now, to me, all right, so maybe the Steelers do move him. What do you think they get in return for him? You got to at least get a number one, right? Maybe a number three as well. A one and a three, are you asking too much there?
I don't think so. I mean, again, it depends who it is asking as well. You know what's interesting? I saw a tweet earlier this week, and my apologies to who it came from, but they were talking about the Patriots and all the ammo they have with draft picks. But I don't think the Steelers would ever, like, they could never live with themselves if they kept seeing Antonio Brown in the AFC Championship or, you know, in the playoffs just absolutely torching them. But, I mean, you got to be smart with it. Like, maybe Oakland could make sense. They have 3 first-round draft picks. Maybe they dump off one of them. I think they even have a pick, an extra pick in the year following. But, I mean, 3 first-round draft picks. Now, granted, I'm not personally giving that up for a diva wide receiver, but, you know, I know, right, so Oakland has the number 4 pick, I believe, and then two at the end of the first round. So,
and you gotta expect Gruden to go get his quarterback too, right? I mean, if he's stockpiling all those quarterbacks, we know that Gruden's been a quarterback guy. Sure, you've heard some articles come out, and some people say, some sources saying that the marriage and the union between he and Carr isn't stable. To me, that just points to a sign that I think Oakland could be going and getting a quarterback out of this crop.
Maybe. This quarterback class just absolutely frustrates the living hell out of me.
We had a great text from Justin Wells saying that Kyler Murray is the quarterback crop. Do you have any thoughts on Kyler Murray before you get started here?
Yeah, I love having these, or like if I were starting a franchise, I would love to have a quarterback that could definitely move around. Like, it's certainly appealing. You could do a lot of things, and especially if you get the right guy to tailor an offense to his skill set, then that could certainly work. A lot now, I know a lot's being made of his height, and they actually brought
not just
up
his height too, Walsh. He's to me, he's little, man. He's small. You know what I mean?
But my man
Justin Wells, he's been up close and personal, like eye to eye with the dude. And he says for as little as he is, he says he's put together like dynamite, man.
Yeah. Well, look, we already know that he's a fantastic athlete, right? He was drafted 9th overall by the Oakland A's. So you got that going. But, you know, to me, again, with the height, it feels like people with, a lot of his passes are going to get batted down. But if you look at the other quarterbacks in this class, they had just as many batted down.
Right.
I think Murray had like 5 batted down all season. And then like the kid from Duke, I think, had like 12. And, you know, Locke had a few more knocked down. But I think he'll be fine. It's just all about fit, right? Like, if he's going to go to a system that tailors to a spread offense, RPOs and things like that, he's going to do well. But if he goes to like a – I don't know. I don't even want to speculate on game plan this far in the off season. But again, if it's not a right fit schematically, then he's probably going to fail miserably. But if you put him in a nice system, it's probably going to work.
All right, one more question, Walsh, before we let you go. We've been talking a lot about the NFL here, and we would be remiss if we didn't talk about the prima donnas and the pretty boys in the NFL. Let's talk a little bit about the quarterbacks. One of the hottest commodities out there right now is Nick Foles. I, for one, you know, I'd be remiss if I didn't even say that I would like him on the Giants to kind of toy with and flirt with an RPO system with Saquon Barkley and OBJ. I just think it would look great. I saw what he did in Philly. Now, I know you're only renting him for probably 1 to 2 years here, but chances are he's going to end up in the Jacksonville organization anyways, which, you know, coincidentally, there's been a lot of talk for Eli Manning coming back to either the New York Giants, or he also is pointed to the franchise of the Jacksonville Jaguars as well. You want to elaborate a little bit on Nick Foles before we let you go here?
Yeah, I mean, it's just that there's already mutual interest between the two sides. I mean, Foles would be a nice quarterback to have there. And Jacksonville has some pretty good wide receivers. Like, don't sleep on them. D.D. Westbrook, Keenan Cole.
Moncrief.
Have a nice year. Yep, Moncrief there as well. I mean, they got a nice little system out there that could work, maybe getting a better tight end. I know James O'Shaughnessy had a decent, couple games last season, but he's not your guy at tight end. Can't forget Leonard Fournette in that backfield right there. But I think like Blake Bortles had some nice games. He just made a lot of mistakes and he just wasn't a good quarterback on the road. But we saw that a guy like Blake Bortles was able to take a team like the Jacksonville Jaguars to the freaking AFC championship game last season. And, granted they had a really tough schedule last year, Jacksonville, but I think some of that dies down. They come back. We know how great a defense that they had. So, look, we've seen Foles be both Nick Foles, right? We've seen him at his best, and we've seen him at his absolute worst.
His worst was with Jeff Fisher, though. That's an asterisk that needs to be thrown out there.
Sure. The first two games of this season really didn't go well for him either. I mean, a game against Atlanta and a game against Tampa Bay weren't great. I'm just saying we've seen both sides of Nick Foles before. And I think if Nick Foles could be somewhere in the middle of who he's shown to be as a quarterback on the Jacksonville Jaguars, they're a playoff team. But I don't think they're winning a Super Bowl. Let's not get crazy here.
Right. All right, man. Hey, great stuff, man. It is Al Walsh. You can find him on Twitter at 14a.Walsh. He brings all that potent product for theDuel.com. Walsh, man, thank you so much for joining us on the Wagner Wire today. Dude, you always bring the ruckus, man. I appreciate it.
Dude, man, I had a great time. And look, I'm trying to get back into the radio game. So anytime you need me for a short segment, an extended segment, I'm there, my brother.
Hey, man, I love it, man. Anytime, dude. I would, like my man Rod Baber says for me, I'd drive the white Bronco for you. You know what I mean?
I love it.
All right, brother. I'll talk to you soon, man.
I will steal that.
All right, do it. Take it, man. Take it with you, man. Just give Rod Babers the credit. You got to. All right, man.
Will do.
I'll talk to you soon, buddy. I'll talk to you soon. Later on. There he goes, Mr. Al Walsh from theDuel.com, bringing you all that potent product. Again, you can find him on the Twitterverse at 14a.Walsh. All right, when we come back, we're going to tie a bow on this bad boy and send it off to the Texas Tailgaters. You're listening to the Wagner Wire here on the Horn.
Now, back to the Wagner Wire.
All right. Last segment of the Wagner Wire. A little traffic here. Mr. Fantasy, quite fitting. I am Mr. Fantasy. We have the number one fantasy show in Austin, Texas, soon to be growing to the number one show in the world. You listen to us on 104.9, 101.9 AM 1260, stream live at hornfm.com. Whichever way you listen to us, so many ways, but know that the message is coming from the Horn. That is our brand. Got a lot to think about here, man. Got a lot to thank going forward here. Got to thank Taco from Taco DFS coming on. Man, my heart and prayers are going out to my man Devin Ludicky there, my producer usually, who's riding shotgun with me here. But as you guys know, if you tuned in from the beginning of the hour, Devin's out sick. I've been riding solo like Han in this Millennium Falcon here. I guess you can call it the Millennium Falcon. No Chewie, no Chewbacca here, but I don't know. Do you consider Brian the Thing Radio Chewbacca? Maybe. I'm not sure. I can do. Anyways, I got to thank Al Walsh, too, man. Al Walsh came on and, talked a lot of good content, a lot of good NFL content with us. So much has happened with the NFL over the week, and we made a big stink about the MLB and Major League Baseball. Just really, you got to get something going here, fellas, because you got your two main headliners here who've been made offers, been made deals, but their agents and the agent's camp and the agent's team think that they were worth a lot more than that. So you got Manny Machado and you got Bryce Harper who, if you missed it, I don't know how you've missed it, they haven't signed with the Major League Baseball, with any club in Major League Baseball. And Major League Baseball, you had pitchers and catchers reporting. The Oakland A's have been in camp for almost a week now, and you still have no Bryce Harper or Manny Machado locked up to any type of deal. You've seen pitchers like Severino get extensions, but still no real hot stove news during the hot stove period of Major League Baseball. So, oh, professional baseball, get your stuff in order, man. We need something to happen. NBA, the NBA All-Star Weekend, highlights from that. You had the Brothers Curry going down to Mr. Joe Harris, the Brooklyn Net. He's got it done there. And then, you know, with all of the speculation with the NFL going down, you would think that one trade between Joe Flacco and the Denver Broncos would be kind of lackluster news, but it's just kind of a law in the action with the money driver kind of being concluded there with the NFL. We still don't like to say that there's an offseason, so we prop up the trade of one Joe Flacco, who, I mean, come on, call it what it is, man. We're struggling if we're looking for any type of news content talking about Joe Flacco here. So, yeah, like I said, a little bit of law in the action. We got some NBA kicking off their second – well, it's not really the second half of the season. They've kind of been in the second half of the season. But we got some fantasy news, some fantasy NBA news. If you've joined the Wagner Wire League, oh, we got the standings coming up. We got my team, Ainge's Bleep Holes. They're in third. But how about this? Our buddy and buddy of the show, Justin Wells, Wreck-It Rells, his club, started out 0-9, maybe even 1-8. But since then – racking off eight straight to pull his club up to 9-8, getting us in. Remember, the winner of this league gets a 50-inch 4K LG TV, courtesy of one Tom McKay in audiovisual consultation. So we got to really thank Tom McKay for giving us a lot of good stuff there all throughout the year and coming through in the clutch here, hooking us up with a TV for this NBA league. He hooked up the MLB league too, man. So audiovisual consultations, always doing great things there. And without further ado, man, that's kind of going to wrap up the show for us here with the Wagner Wire, man. So many people to think about and to think on this day. Sundays are usually a good day for me. Hopefully they're a good day for you moving out. It's kind of a bittersweet ending when we come to it because I kind of like to stay with you guys all day long. And that is it for all of us here at the Horn and the Wagner Wire. Usually it's just me and Devin Ludicky. Devin, my hearts and prayers are with you, man. Hope you're getting better, man. Drink water, rest up, change your socks. All right, we'll talk to you soon. And to everybody that chimed in on the Wagner Wire today, man, lots of good texts on the Specs text line. You know, lots of good people asking about Daytona 500. Daytona getting some love. So got to thank Taco from DFS Army for coming on and talking a little bit about Daytona 500 and all the left-handed turns you need to know there. Thanks to Al Walsh, my confidant, my companion and confidant, as I like to say, my old school brother from a different mother, Al Walsh. All right, thank you guys too. Until next week, enjoy the ride.